do up your seatbelts. You know, we have been skipping across the book of Isaiah, much like you skip a stone over water. And we're touching down this morning on some of the truths in this book that not only apply to the people of God at that time, but also apply now to the people of God who form the Church of Jesus Christ today. And this morning we are looking at Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1, and we'll be reading down to verse 8. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, their doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" You know, having a personal encounter with God that transforms your life is actually not an unusual thing. If we were to take the time now, and it would just completely blow the rest of the time, you took it all praying, and I think that was probably more profitable, but if we were to take the time now and go around to everyone here, it is very likely that each one of us have a God story of some kind that's had a profound impact on our life. You know, you never know when God is going to break into your life. As a matter of fact, I think it would be a really good idea when we have lunch together in a few minutes. Let me prime the pump here. It might be good for you to ask each other, what is your God story? What has had a profound impact on your life? What God story do you have to share? There, that's your assignment for lunchtime. We're going to start back in verse 1 and start to look into this a little deeper. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. You know, the reference to being the year that King Uzziah died, I believe is much more than just merely dating this event. We know through history that King Uzziah died in 740 BC. Is that why Isaiah said that, so we wouldn't forget what year it was? Or is there some other stuff going on behind it? I would suggest that there's probably other things that are going on as to why Isaiah said this. You know, it could very well be that the event of King Uzziah's death is what brought this encounter that Isaiah had with God that ended up transforming his life and ministry. It might have shaken him to his very core. It kind of makes me think of this past week of the impact that Kobe Bryant's death has made on so many people. And his sudden death. And it's shaken many people to their core. Let me just briefly tell you about King Uzziah. His story is both an exciting one and at the same time a tragic one. And you can read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah was 16 when he became king, and he reigned over Jerusalem for 52 years. That's a pretty long reign. Queen Elizabeth's done a little better than that, but I mean, that was a very long reign. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 4, it says, "He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah." Zechariah was the priest who instructed him in the fear of God. "As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success." And you go, Uzziah, way to go! Way to go, man! He was one of the good guys. And Uzziah's fame and success spread as far as Egypt, as to the borders of Egypt, and he became powerful. Oh, power. Man. That has destroyed more people. I have seen the issue of power and control just destroy churches, destroy people's lives. Watch out when something starts going good and you think that you've done it and you think you've got some power now. And in verse 16 of 2 Chronicles 26, it says, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall." Pride, oh man. There it is. "He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." You know, this was something that only a priest was permitted to do. But Uzziah had become proud. And when a person becomes proud, they assume that the normal rules of life don't apply to them. They're above it. And as the king, he felt he could offer the incense in the temple, and he violated God's instructions. And when he did that, there were 80 brave priests who confronted the king and told him he was wrong. And Uzziah, he became angry, and he raged at them. And as he did so, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And it says in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 26, when Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. Here is Uzziah, a great king, who for most of his 52-year reign trusted God, sought God, feared God. God empowered him. God blessed him. But he became proud. And God struck him. And he was smitten with leprosy. In those last days and years of his life, he ended up in isolation. And King Uzziah, I am going to suggest, had become a stumbling block in Isaiah's relationship with God. And I'm going to lay out a couple of scenarios, but please understand, this is me reading into the scriptures. It isn't "thus saith the Lord," it's trying to understand what's going on here. And one of the scenarios I'm going to lay before you could be that Isaiah had been mesmerized by Uzziah, by King Uzziah. That is, King Uzziah was his hero. You know, Isaiah had grown up under Uzziah's success. Maybe he looked up to him as a great spiritual and political leader, which he had been. And it's totally possible that Isaiah held King Uzziah in such high esteem that instead of dealing with God directly, Isaiah looked at King Uzziah for direction and guidance. You know, that happens so easily and quickly. Sometimes we look up to other people with such respect, we actually allow them to stand between us and God. We look to them to know what God is saying. And we look to them to intercede to God on our behalf. And you end up not dealing with God yourself, but with someone else who is standing between you and God. And quite often in a congregation like this, people put pastors up on a pedestal, and you don't do anything unless you've talked to your pastor. Now, that's good on one hand, but if they become between you and God, you know, one of the things that makes me shudder a little bit about our prayer time, and I'm happy to pray at any time for anyone, but don't come to me thinking that my prayers are better than your prayers. My prayers are no better than your prayers. You have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. You don't have to come through me. As a matter of fact, I think at times that'd probably be a bigger hindrance. Now don't, you know, it's wonderful to, our corporate prayer time, there's something about that that is wonderful, and we love it, and it's important. But don't think that you have to phone me to have me pray for you to have stronger access to God. Happy to do that because of our fellowship. And I know at times when I feel beaten down, it's wonderful to be able to share with someone some things, and you know that they're praying for you and there's that support. But each one of us have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. But you know, a lot of times we end up not listening to God for ourselves because we feel, well, this king, this Uzziah in my life, they know God better than I do. They're more spiritual. They're closer to God than I am. Well, I mean, who am I? So what I'm saying is maybe Isaiah had been mesmerized by King Uzziah, his superhero, his Kobe Bryant that we have seen this past week. Now, another scenario could be the exact opposite of that. Maybe Isaiah had become disillusioned with King Uzziah. Maybe he had become disappointed at the behavior of this man of God, and as a result, he became disillusioned by him. You know, this often happens too. There are people who stop going to church because of the behavior of some person or some leader or some pastor in the church. And when things don't go the way you think that they should have, when someone that you look up to has failed you, we get hurt, and we quit, and we give up. My word to us this morning is do not put any human being on a pedestal. They will eventually fail you and fall off that pedestal you've put them on. Connect with God and worship God. You know, the interesting thing is that when King Uzziah dies, what does Isaiah say? I saw the Lord. And where did Isaiah see the Lord? Seated on a throne. Where had King Uzziah sat for 52 years? Seated on a throne. And whether King Uzziah was a blockage to Isaiah because he was mesmerized by him or because he was disillusioned by him is really beside the point. The point is when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord in the place where the Lord had always been, but somehow Isaiah had never seen it like this before. This is a fresh vision for Isaiah. Uzziah is not on the throne. God is on the throne. And I'm asking us this morning, what might be clouding our vision of God? What might be interfering with your communion and relationship with God? What is getting in the way of your seeing God for who he really is and doing business with him? Do you personally connect with God, or do you run to someone or something else to connect to God for you? Is it the Word of God that you're spending time with and listening for God's voice speaking to you? Are you taking time to be with God alone? And Isaiah suddenly saw the Lord seated on a throne. High and lifted up, it says in our text. And the train of his robe filled the temple. You know, kings in this time, they wore long trains. And the longer the train and the more elaborate the train, the more powerful the king was. I wonder if King Uzziah's train over the time of his reign had grown and become more elaborate as he'd become more powerful and richer and had more control over a bigger area. And I wonder if it was something that impressed Isaiah, like, whoa, look at that. And what does he see now? He says that it sees that it's God that's sitting on the throne. He is high and exalted. And I can just imagine Isaiah's eyes getting bigger and bigger. And the train of God's robe filled the temple. Whoa. His eyes, I'm sure, were just about popping out of his head. Then all of a sudden, above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And I'm sure Isaiah was going, whoa. Wow. And they were calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, we could spend weeks just talking about verses 1 and 2 in Isaiah 6. We're not doing that. We're going to keep on moving on because there's so much other stuff that's going on here. But here Isaiah, as he sees the Lord, all of a sudden, some other things start to happen. Along with this image of sovereignty and supremacy and authority and holiness, there's another atmosphere around the throne, which is an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty. Verse 4 says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts shook and the thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Could you imagine if all of a sudden within this church, everything starts to shake and coal dust starts coming out of the rafters? We laugh, and if it started to happen, I would be terrified. I'm the closest to the door. I'd probably be the first out. Can you imagine? It's enough to tear anybody. You know, the holiness of God does not fit into any earthly example we have. There's nothing we can point to that says, this is what God is like. And here is an atmosphere on one hand that's full of wonder and worship. And on the other hand, it's an atmosphere of fear and trembling. And everything is shaking. And the whole temple is full of smoke. You know, Isaiah later on in his book, in chapter 40 and verse 18, he says, to whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? And the answer is, there is none. It is both wonderful and fearful all at the same time. And when you have an encounter with God, you discover he is much, much, much bigger and holier and more powerful than you could ever have imagined. And Isaiah's whole life is revolutionized by this encounter with God. So if what Isaiah experienced was a new realization of who God is, secondly, there's also a new revelation of himself. In verse 5, we read, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. To see the Lord causes us to see ourselves very differently, and what we see about ourselves is not a pretty picture. It's not a pretty sight. We see ourselves in our sin. We see ourselves in our unholiness, if there is such a word. And Isaiah, who had been preaching prior to this event, if you go back to chapter 5 and you read chapter 5, you read over and over again in the fifth chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah's message was, woe to you. Woe to you who do this and who do that. It's a very condemning message. What do you do? Who do you think you are? Woe to you. Turn or burn, buddy. And then Isaiah has this dramatic encounter with God. And now what does he say? Woe is me. Me. I'm the problem. You see, the woe to them message comes from someone that they might have all their doctrine right. They might have all their ethical values right. They might have a very genuine concern of the state of the world, but they've stood on the outside and they've said, you're the one in trouble. You're the one that needs help. You're the one that's all messed up. And they've not come to the point of seeing and saying, woe is me, it's me, I'm in trouble. And what happens to Isaiah in verse 6 says, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Yes, Isaiah saw he was a sinner. He was guilty. But Isaiah, your sin has been atoned for and your guilt has been taken away. And you know, there's nothing more marvelous as knowing that you are forgiven. Especially when you know that you're guilty and you deserve it. You know, we are cleansed by the grace and the kindness and the love and the mercy and the justice of God on the grounds of the cross of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. But I find it interesting that Isaiah's sin seems to have something to do with his mouth. He had a dirty mouth. So what was the problem with Isaiah's lips, with his mouth? We don't know. I can only speculate, but I would suggest that maybe his woe to them message was his sin, because he had never faced the woe is me. You know, it's a good thing when we see ourselves as we really are. I've said it before, and it's worth repeating, I believe. The only way that sin leaves your body is through your mouth. You confess it. John, in his epistle in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. As Isaiah says, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. He confesses, I'm the one that needs help. I'm the one that's fallen. It's me. And finally, now in verse 8, he writes, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. You know, Isaiah had recognized his condition. He confessed it. And now God says, open your mouth. Go tell others. You know, so often it's in the area of our sin, when we have dealt with it, with our issues before God, that becomes the area of our ministry to other people. Because we understand what God has done for us, and we can relate to others in love. Isaiah goes on to preach with love and compassion that he didn't know before. You know, he was being sent to a people who would hear but wouldn't listen, who would not understand his message, who would never perceive, whose hearts would be calloused and hardened. God sends Isaiah off to a ministry of failure as far as human reasoning is concerned. But Isaiah's identity, his value, his encouragement was not derived from his ministry, but rather from God. You know what Isaiah did not know? He did not know that what he was writing down, his experiences, his times with God, what God was revealing to him, that it would leave for us one of the longest and most profound books in all of the Bible. You know, you and I never know to what extent God is going to use things in our lives to impact others. It's only by God's grace that we're cleansed, we're forgiven. And the Spirit of God lives within us as we come to trust in Christ and ask him to forgive us of our sins and come into our lives And he gives us his spirit, and he replaces what we were with his character and life and beauty, working through us in his power and love to reach out to those around us, as we have been praying for and talking about, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And it's God that does the work. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for each person that's here this morning. And I pray that we will be open to your breaking into our lives and bringing your transformation into our hearts and our lives. Help us see you. Help us see you, Jesus. And help us see, woe is me. And then out of that, may all of us be willing to be your humble servants, saying, here I am. I don't deserve it. But Lord, here I am. Send me to those around who are in desperate need. I pray this, Lord, in your most worthy and precious name. Amen.